It's good to be here tonight. We're going to go to the Word of the Lord for just a few moments here tonight. And I want to go to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2. And I want to read verses 1 and 2 tonight. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. You can say amen when you get there.
Amen.
All right. Levi, we're glad you're here and glad your sister's with you tonight.
Amen.
We love the Ludlows.
Yes.
Boy, he looked awful sharp this morning.
Amen.
I thought, boy, those girls are going to be chasing him. We're going to have to help him out. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be here tonight. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And there went a man, everybody said a man.
Amen.
Doesn't even name him. There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. Everybody said a wife.
A wife.
So we have a man and we have a wife. And the woman conceived. And she bare a son, and when she saw that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And you know the context of that scripture of the coming out of Egypt and the beginning of the Exodus here. And that word Exodus means the coming out. Amen. I want to just use this tonight to help us, to encourage us, that God will use us if we'll just make ourselves available to Him.
Amen.
Amen. God uses common people.
Yes.
You can put that down as a title if you want to, Brother Greg. God uses common people. And that's what we are tonight. We're just common folk. Amen. We're just people like a lot of others in this world. There's nothing special. Amen. But there is something special tonight because we have received the Holy Ghost and we've got something that the world doesn't have, that the world didn't give us and the world can't take it away.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for the Word of God and your presence that we feel right now. I'm asking you to lay your hand upon the message. Lord, let it be more than just a sermon, but God, let it be a word that will get into the young people, a word that will get into the adults. We thank you tonight. We give you praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Why don't we give him a hand clap of praise? Can we do that? Praise God. Praise God. Before I get into this, it's good to have Brother Keith here tonight.
Amen.
Been praying for you. Amen. And there's a lot of things that are going on. We texted out that Brother and Sister Scott had come down with this COVID. And I spoke to him, I think it was yesterday or this morning, I don't remember. Time is going by so fast. And he said, I woke up at 5:30 feeling refreshed and everything's going to be all right. God's a good God. God's a good God. Praise the Lord. You can be seated tonight as we get into the Word of God. Amen. You know, God's not in the business of making great people greater.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He's in the business of making people that are common, uncommon.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. The idea that God is looking for accomplished and talented people is really not biblical at all.
Amen.
And in fact, the opposite is very, very true. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 26, it talks about that. Excuse me. And it says, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, I think that would cover most of us here tonight. Not many mighty, that would cover us tonight. Not many noble are called. But God hath chosen, everybody said God has chosen.
God has chosen.
This is God's way of doing things. Now you've got to remember this. You've got to get this down in your heart when the spirits and the world try to tell you that, you know, you can never do anything and you're not going to be anything. And the enemy of our soul, the devil and his imps, will come along and try to tell you that you're not worthy. I'm telling you what tonight, God does not call the qualified, but God qualifies the called. Amen. That's exactly how he does it. God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Amen. I'm thankful for that because I fit into that category. Hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Amen. If we want to have revival, amen, we need to be used of God. But I'm telling you what we need more than all of that, we need a move of God. Because we can set up programs, and programs are great, and they work, and it's a part of moving forward. But I'm here to tell us tonight that without prayer and without touching the Lord, we're not going to really accomplish a whole lot. We might accomplish a few things, but the Apostle Paul, who wrote First Corinthians, and actually 1 and 2 Corinthians, was a man that had established himself in a tremendous ministry. And 1 Corinthians chapter 1 again, and I believe it's verse 17, it says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." And you might say, well, then baptism is not important. Baptism is absolutely essential, but there was something deeper than the doctrinal truth of water baptism that Paul was trying to establish here, and it was that he was not sent to baptize because he was so deep in his writings, he was so deep in his revelations, that he would have made followers of himself instead of followers of Jesus Christ. Think about that tonight. He was so wise and so deep in his revelatory experience in God that he would have made disciples of himself. And that's proven out by verses 12 through 16. He said, "Now I say that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." And that was a little problem that they had, one of the many problems that they had in the Corinthian church. And some said, "Paul's my preacher." And others said, "Apollos, he's the man." And Cephas. And then somebody said, "Well, I've got you all beat. Jesus is my preacher." And there was a division. It was a carnal thing. Paul goes on and he says, "Was Paul crucified for you?" And of course, the answer to that is no, he was not. Paul was not crucified for us. Amen. It was not any individual that brought you into the kingdom of God. Even though God uses people, I hope you're understanding what I'm saying here tonight. Amen. But it was a move of God. It was the drawing of the Holy Ghost. It was the drawing of the Spirit of God that led you to that person that taught you a Bible study. It was the Lord moving in the background of your life. Amen. It was the Lord that was setting the whole thing up so that you would happen chance, that you would happen chance meet someone and it led you to salvation. Amen. I'm just so thankful for my salvation tonight. It means more to me now than it has in the past. And I'm just so thankful that the Lord looked down upon the 7 billion people on this planet and said, I want you to follow me. Amen. I'm glad the Lord put something in my heart because there is nothing about me. It's all about Him. And where we run into more problems than anything, it's when folks begin to think it's about me and not about God. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I think it ought to be done this way. I think it ought to be done that way. I'll tell you what you need to do. You just need to get on your knees and pray until God works it out. Because I tell you what, we put our hands upon the work of God and we're going to mess it up big time. I've learned over the years not to make decisions real quickly. And when I have, that's when I made my most mistakes. Some of you can say amen to that. Amen, because we jumped before we thought about it and we thought it through and prayed about it and all of that. And I'm not here tonight to condemn anybody or make anyone feel bad, but that's just the way it is. Amen. And here's a good scripture for baptizing in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. Paul said, was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? They knew that they were baptized in a name, but he was making a point here, amen, that it was the name of Jesus. When we go down in the water, it's in the name of Jesus. And it is in the name of Jesus, in obedience to the commandment of the Lord, that our sins are washed away. Amen. The pastor doesn't wash your sins away when he baptizes you. Well, praise the Lord. It is the grace of God that takes us to the waters of baptism. It is the grace of God that fills us with the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have not been given an extra amount of grace, amen, that I am to distribute to you. No, that's not the will of God. That's not the scripture tonight. Somebody could say amen to that. That's not the word of God. It's false doctrine. There's only one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. Thank God for preaching. Thank God for teaching. Thank God for apostles and prophets. Thank God for all of the ministry. But I'm afraid that we have gotten to a place, or there is a temptation to go to the place where we are following a man and not Jesus Christ. Amen. Because you can prophesy and still go to hell. You can do good works. We read that last night in our Bible reading. Amen. And Jesus said that there will be many that will say, Lord, Lord, and they will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not going to be saved just because they call on his name. Amen. And there will be many that will say, Lord, we have done wonderful works in your name. He said, I profess to you, I never knew you. And so the most important thing tonight, church, is that we know him and that we strive to know him more and more, better and better, deeper and deeper. That's where it's at. Amen. He said, but I thank God that I baptized none of you. Paul was not in that mode of ministry because of his wisdom and his revelations. He said, I only baptized Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. And he probably baptized them because it was of necessity and there was not anyone else there to baptize them. Praise God. I'm thinking tonight about Moses and when he died and the Lord buried him. And then sometime later in time, Satan and Michael the archangel were disputing over the body of Moses. And the angel Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you." He gave all the glory to God. And I thought about it and thought about it. Why was that even recorded in Scripture? And what's the significance of that? Why were they disputing over the body of Moses? Well, I believe that Michael, according to Scripture, is right with God and is used of God, an archangel. And he wants to give glory to God in everything. But Satan is interested in himself. And what Satan would have done would have built a temple to Moses at the burial site, and people would come and worship Moses instead of worshiping God. Well, praise the Lord. We cannot do that in our walk with God. We've got to give God all the glory. Amen. Paul was so effective that he could have gotten people to follow him, and he could have made himself a little kingdom. And anyone that's ever done that, anyone that's ever attempted to build their own little kingdom and to have their followers, we could read the stories tonight of the multitude that have tried that, and they've gone by the wayside, they have failed, and they're not here anymore. Amen. There are those that have even called themselves God and tried to exalt themselves. Amen. But it's never, ever worked. The only thing that's going to work in your life, young person, the only thing that's going to work in your life that's really going to bless you for your future is to put God first in everything that you do. Number one, amen. That means faithfulness to the house of God. That means your giving. That means your prayer. That means your submission. Amen. All of the attributes of commitment and honesty and integrity and all of those things, they may not seem that important at the time, but if you will just believe the Word of God and follow the Word of God and do what it says, you are going to be blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. Amen. Because it's not about us, it's about the Lord. Amen. And this is probably, and I'm just conjecturing here tonight, but it's probably why the Lord called Paul to go to the Gentiles, because the Lord had to keep him humble. Amen. Here was a Jewish Pharisee. Not only was he a Pharisee, but he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. If the highest Pharisee had a question, they would go to Paul, and he would get it straightened out, because he was very wise. Amen. And so he was a Jewish religious leader, spent many, many, many days and months and years learning the Word of God, learning all of the intricacies of the Word of God, sat under Gamaliel, who was one of the greatest, if not the greatest, teacher of his day. And if you please, Paul was a man that had graduated from Harvard and Yale and all of those places. He had the degrees. Amen. But sometimes that is not so good when it comes to working for God, because you think it's your wisdom that does the work, but it's not our wisdom, it's the power of God. And so the Lord calls Paul and told him, "I don't want you to go to the Jews." He understood their law. He could debate with them. History tells us that they had to change the guards in the prison every 15 minutes because he would convert them. Amen. He was a go-getter. He was full of zeal. He had the energy and the drive and the zeal to do something for his God, but he was doing it in a wrong avenue. And so the Lord said, "I'm going to take you out of that religious place that you're in, and I'm going to send you over there to the rednecks, and you can minister unto them." The Gentiles. Amen. The rednecks. The folks who'd never read the Bible, they didn't know anything about Genesis or Revelation. Amen. All they knew were their false gods. All they knew were crazy sacrifices. Well, praise God. That's all they knew. And the Lord said, I want you to go over there and minister to those folks. Why? I think the Lord did that to keep him humble. And add on top of that, there was given to him a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan. Amen. And so Satan followed him around everywhere he was at, and he had to go through shipwrecks. He had to go through all of these different things, beaten with rods, stoned to death, and the Lord raised him back up from that. He went through quite an ordeal. And I've got a relative that is Catholic, and I'll just say that openly because that's what he is. And we got into a little bit of a debate at the house one year when they were here, and the debate was about purgatory. Anybody ever hear of purgatory? Purgatory is what they say is a place that if you're a sinner in life and you're not ready to go to heaven, you go to purgatory and you suffer for a while and then you get to go to heaven. So I guess nobody's ever lost. You just go to purgatory. And he said that's what Paul was doing, was suffering in purgatory for his sins. But what it does is it tries to establish that we are our own Savior. That if all we do is suffer and we give, that's enough for salvation. But folks, it's a whole lot more than just giving. It's a whole lot more than those kinds of things that you could do. Amen. And they have repetitious prayers. I know I was raised Catholic, and we would pray the same thing over and over. And I was, as a kid, we would pray the rosary. And we on a rosary, I think there's probably about 20 or 30, maybe more than that, our fathers. And then we'd have to pray a prayer called a Hail Mary. And that's not a football maneuver. Amen. But we had to pray those things. And I remember as a kid thinking, we're halfway through and we're almost done. And to me, that was religion. That was what we did. But I had a feeling in my mind as a young child that God was a million miles away. But God's not a million miles away. And thank God you don't have to go through purgatory to be saved. All you have to do is be born again of the water and the Spirit. And it's the grace of God that saves us. It is the mercy of God. It is the price that was paid at Calvary. Well, praise God. Praise God. When we repented of our sins, it was God's grace that motivated us to repent of our sins. When we were baptized, it was God's grace that motivated us to be baptized. When we receive the Holy Ghost, it was a direct result of the grace of God. It hasn't got a whole lot to do with you and me, but it's got a whole lot to do with Him. Well, praise God. Praise God. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. 2 Corinthians 12 records this, verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure. That's what happens right there. When it becomes our performance, when it becomes what we have done, when it comes to my wisdom, my spirituality, my amount of prayer, my amount of reading the Word, it is so easy to get exalted above measure. And all of a sudden, everybody else is down here and you're up here spiritually and there's nothing but problems all around you, but you're not the one that has the problem. Amen. Exalted above measure. Amen. And I think with this tremor that I have, I think that Maybe the Lord is just using that. I think and I pray, Lord, I need your healing, but I don't get an answer. And so, you know what I've decided? I'm just going to preach the word of God. Amen. I'm going to do my very best with what I've got because it's not me. Amen. I did not motivate a move of God tonight. You did not motivate a move of God, although I thank God for good music and people that want to worship. But it's the grace of God that has given us what we have tonight. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We've got to get to a place where it's not the preacher, but it's what is preached that's all important. We ought to rejoice not in the excitement and enthusiasm of the preacher. Amen. But we need to get excited about what he's saying about God. I'm excited about God. Let there be hypocrites in the church. Let there be problems in the church. But I'm telling you what, it's the grace of God that brought me into the church. And I'm the only one that can take me out of the church. And I've got my mind made up. Anybody else got your mind made up tonight? Oh, I feel his grace right now. Praise God. Praise God. We've got to learn to lean on Jesus in every aspect of our lives and to give him thanks every day for his blessings. Well, praise the Lord. I feel something here tonight. Amen. It's amazing what you can do with the grace of God. Amen. You can be seated tonight. God bless you. Amen. I'm thankful. I feel what I'm feeling here tonight. And so verse 19, it says, and let's see here. I think that's 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You'll have to find it, but it's verse 19 in one of the books of the Bible. All right? And it says, "For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Amen. Amen. There's nothing wrong with understanding. There's nothing wrong with wisdom. Scripture tells us it is the principal thing. But there's more to wisdom than understanding mathematics. There's more to wisdom than understanding how to be prudent. Amen. These are worldly aspects that he's talking about. Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You're not going to know God by going to all the Bible study, all the Bible studies, all the Bible colleges, all of those kinds of things. You're not going to get closer to God by going through those things and gaining wisdom and maybe gaining some knowledge. Colleges today have left wisdom and they've gone to, in many cases, and I'm not putting it down, we've got some folks that have gone through college and are in college right now, but I would just say to you, be careful of this humanistic idea that's in the colleges today, because in their effort to become so smart, they become fools, and they have come up with ideas that are so perverted. You know, the guy that digs ditches can figure it out before they can. And there's nothing wrong with digging ditches, but I'll tell you what, you want to stop that after a while. Praise God. You can say, I was a ditch digger. I used to build decks on the back of houses and worked with a deck crew, and we could do 3 decks in one day. And, you know, we hustled. And when we jumped out of the truck, we knew what tool to grab, and we were drilling holes in the ground for the posts. And And then we had a hand-operated thing, and you shove it down in the ground and pull it like that, and the dirt comes out. It's called a post-hole digger. Amen. It's a very complicated piece of machinery, and it takes somebody with a PhD to work it. Praise God. And I said that one time. I said, all right, who's got the PhD? Amen. And they kind of looked at me funny. I said, post-hole digger. Amen. If you've got a PhD, you can dig a hole. Amen. But there are some wisdoms that you'll find on a deck crew. There's some truth that people just, you know, in their funny way, they come up with ideas and understanding of the world around them that's so very, very true. Amen. You're not going to find that in Washington. You're not going to find that in Harvard. Amen. You're not. You're only going to find this crazy stuff that they've come up with. Amen. And it's not going to work. Socialism is not going to work. Well, praise God. Say, what is socialism? And I'm getting off on a rabbit trail here, and I'm not going to stay here very long. But what it basically is, and where our world is headed tonight, is a redistribution of wealth. And lest you think that the rich are going to give away all of their money, it is another way of saying we're going to take everything away from everybody and it's going to become ours. It's communism in disguise. We have communism and atheism in our society today. Amen. But I'll tell you what, we cannot fight this only with political protests. We cannot fight this with any other thing. I've heard so many, many stories of people in other countries, amen, that became communists, that were overthrown by guerrilla warfare and all of that. And it drove them to their knees. Praise God. It drove them to their knees, and miracles took place. I remember many, many years ago in the Philippines, there were some, they're called guerrillas, but it's not the guerrilla animal, but it's people that are trying to overthrow the government. And there was a church service going on, apostolic people in the Philippines, and the guerrillas were trying to find some other ones. And they heard this commotion going on in this building, which was the church service. And so what they did was they opened fire with machine guns and began to shoot. And the pastor in the church told everyone, said, don't run out the door or you'll die. Stay right where you're at and let's praise God. And the pastor's daughter, who had been on a fast, stood up and said the same thing. And so they began to worship God. When they saw that the machine guns were not having any effect, and they actually brought one of the shirts back to the States so that you could have proof, and there were bullet holes in the shirts, but nobody was killed. Amen. Isn't God good? And so they decided, we're not going to shoot machine guns, we're going to throw hand grenades in there. And so they threw hand grenades in the church, and people were flying through the air. One of the men afterwards said he thought the rapture was taking place because he was flying through the air. Nobody was hurt. Everybody that ran out and tried to get away on their own way were killed. I'm telling you tonight, my God is a God who is able. He can take us to higher heights than we will ever be able to go on our own. Well, praise God. And he will destroy the wisdom of men. Amen. Man says that the only way for him to be saved is through wisdom, through knowledge, through his learning, through all of those kinds of things. But the Bible says that he will destroy the wisdom of men. How does he do that? Well, the salvation of man is not a political system. It is a spiritual experience. And so the wisdom of God says, here's the answer. Go to the church, go to the altar, and repent of your sins. Wisdom. Wisdom. Amen. All of those folks were gathered together, some 20,000. Amen. And Jesus is in a boat. They're waiting with bated breath for what he has to say. Amen. Profound wisdom. Profound understanding. We need something to help us in our life. And he opens his mouth and he says, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and gathered it up and ate it. And so on and so forth. And then when it was all done, he said, God bless you. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Well, maybe he didn't say that. Praise God. And you say, well, that's too simple. We need something more complicated. I'll tell you, folks, we don't need anything more complicated. We've got to stay with the simplicity of Jesus Christ. You say, what is that? I'll tell you what it is. You need Jesus. I need Jesus. We need Jesus in our church services, our meetings, our gatherings together. We need Jesus on the job. We need Jesus at school. I need Jesus. That is the simplicity, but the profoundness of this truth tonight. Praise God. And so Titus chapter 3 and verse 9. He says, but avoid foolish questions. There are foolish questions. Like, can God make a rock so big that he can't pick it up? Praise the Lord. And you think about that and you kind of cock your head sideways just a little bit. But could God make a rock big enough that he can't pick up? Of course, the answer is no. And then they would say, well, then God can't do anything. He can't do everything because he can't make a rock big enough that he can't pick up. Praise the Lord. Awesome, isn't it? Profound wisdom. But avoid foolish questions. There's a lot of foolish questions that people have. Just avoid them. That word avoid there means to deviate away from or to decline or to avoid. Amen. Avoid foolish questions and genealogies. Oh, there's folks that are into the genealogies. I've been to the Mormon Genealogy Center in Salt Lake City. Went in to see if I could find some genealogies on my family. And it's a huge building, and that's all they do is look for genealogies because they baptize themselves for people who have already passed on in hopes that it will be their salvation. But there's nothing in the Word of God that tells us to do that. Amen. Avoid these things. Amen. And contentions, somebody that's contentious, somebody that's bitter, somebody that's got it all figured out in their little head. Amen. Praise God. Well, I could say something, but I'm not going to. Thank you, Brother Charlie. And strivings about the law. We're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to get down to the little bitty details, and we're going to figure out who's right and who's not right. Scripture says, for they are unprofitable and vain. All the time you spend looking up your genealogies to try to figure out this, that, or the other. All the time that you spend going down to all those little bitty details, I'll tell you what, if you just take that time and get on your knees and pray. And ask God, if any lack wisdom and understanding, let him ask of God who giveth liberally and upbraideth not. Amen. Praise God. That's Titus. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. I remember years ago in Boston, there was a young man that came and prayed through. He was in a rock star band, had been on the cover of Rolling Stones magazine on his way up, but he knew he needed more, and he came into the church. And after he came into the church, he started studying, and he became a professor of sorts. He didn't have a degree or anything, but he thought he was pretty smart. And he read somewhere where, you know the story where the angel troubled the water and the first person in gets healed? Anybody remember that? Somebody came up with the bright idea that that was just a myth. It was just a story. It wasn't really something that actually happened. And there became a debate between him and my pastor. And the man quoted someone. If I quoted his name right now, you'd know who it is. Well, he says that that's the way it is. And my pastor said, I don't care who says that's the way it is. The Word of God says it's this way, and that means it's this way. And he could not make that young man understand. And he looked at him and he said, son, there's going to be a day coming when you will be debating against us. And he made a prophecy right there. And that young man left God, left the truth completely, joined up with a Trinitarian group, and left the truth. My pastor was right, as he was so many, many times. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, folks, God uses common people, but folks, we've got to use common sense. We've got to use common sense, and that's usually not that common. Amen. And let me skip over a few things here tonight, and I want to try to finish here. But a man married a woman. A man married a woman. No name, no pedigree, no, he was a Levite, and he married a girl. How about that? Thank God they still did it that way in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. He married a girl, and they had a child. Amen. Praise God. Profound, isn't it? Amen. Profound. Amen. We've got some young ones here tonight. Praise God. I remember the day that Deontay and Melissa got married here at the church. Amen. And now sitting between them is that little cutie with her little flower on her head. Amen. It just happens. That's the way it's supposed to happen. Amen. Praise God. And tall Slim here on the front row, right in front of the pastor where I can preach straight at him if I want to. Amen. That's the way it works. Amen. A man married a woman, they had a child. But there were circumstances surrounding these common people. And the circumstances was you've got to give your son over to the Egyptians and they are going to kill him. And Mama said, no. 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 The Lord's going to help us. Well, how's the Lord going to help you? I don't know, but he's going to help us. The Lord's going before us. So how's he going to do that? I have no idea whatsoever how God's going to work it out. I don't need that wisdom. All I need to know, the wisdom that I need to know is that God can do it. And if he chooses to, he will do it. Like the three Hebrew boys, if he chooses not to, we're ready to die in the fire because we're standing for the wisdom of God. We're standing for the truth that God is for us. And whatever happens is going to happen. Common people, and they made a little boat like Noah. They pitched it with pitch, and they put him in that little place, shoved him out into the water, probably tears flowing down her face. But she thought, "If I've got to give God something to work with, and surely the Lord will be able to help us here." Floated down the river, you know, just happened, ha ha. to float over to where Pharaoh's daughter was. They opened it up, and there's that little baby crying. If there's anything that will touch the heart of a woman, it's a little infant that's a crying.
Amen.
First thing they want to do is scoop them up and put a bottle in their mouth or whatever needs to be done. There's a love that's there. And God put that love in Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And she said, this is going to be my son. This is one of the Hebrews. God prepared. He prepared a. Somebody said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
What a way to wrap it up. Amen.
God
was preparing a death angel. God was preparing a crossing of the Red Sea. God was preparing fire on the top of the mountain and the giving of the law. God was preparing a way through the wilderness to a land of promise that flowed with milk and honey. But he didn't do it until he found somebody that was just common that could believe God. And if I could just finish with that tonight, if that's all you get out of this message here tonight, folks, we've got to believe God. Come on now. We've got to believe God. We've got to put our trust and our hope in God. No matter what's happening, we had a word here a while back that trouble, a season of trouble will come. But fear not, for I am with you. That's all I need to hear. You don't have to give me chapter and verse. You don't have to find somebody that's got a degree to establish the fact that that is true. No, I'm telling you what, I just know that I know that I know. God is real. And he loves me. And everything's going to be all right. Come on, let's stand together tonight. Don't let the devil tell you that you can't be used of God. For God uses common people to do uncommon things. Oh, I could spend all night telling the stories. Brother Mike and I, we've talked about it some, about how he came to the Lord and the circumstances surrounding it. We could talk about how you came to the Lord and the circumstances surrounding your coming to God. We could talk about the trailer house that you used to live in. Praise God. There are some that are not here tonight, but we could talk about the mouse that was in the trash can while we were teaching Bible study, and all of a sudden you hear this. And Sister Kimberly was so embarrassed, there was a mouse in her trash. So right in the middle of the Bible study, I just got up, wrapped up the trash, took it outside, and then we'd go ahead and have Bible study.
Amen.
Amen. I wasn't so high and mighty, because I'm the preacher, see? And everything's got to be just right for me. No, I'll take a trash sack out that's got a mouse in it. Praise the Lord. I remember teaching a Bible study to a family here. Some of you might remember Cheryl and whatever his name was. And go ahead, you can play. Oh, they changed the song on you. I remember we were teaching a Bible study, little bitty shack down on Main Street here in Augusta. Children wearing hand-me-down clothes. Uncommon, or very, very common, I'm sorry. And we're teaching a Bible study, and there's cockroaches crawling all over the floor. Praise God.
Amen.
Isn't it exciting living for God?
Amen.
And Brother Keith, they had a cat. And right in the middle of the Bible study, between where I was sitting and where they were sitting, a cockroach runs out. And it stopped, and the cat got into its pounce position. And you know how they wiggle their backside. And then they jump. This cat jumped on that cockroach and ate it right there in front of us. Brother Deontay, they didn't teach us that in Bible college. They're not going to teach you anything about that in Bible college. And God, I'm so thankful that she received the Holy Ghost. I don't know where they're at tonight. But praise God. I'll go where there's cockroaches, but I'm not real sure about bed bugs. That's where I draw the line, I think. Praise God. I remember going up to Manhattan and preaching for Brother Barry at the maximum security prison there. And there was probably about 70 or so men, all of them convicts, all of them in the maximum security because they had done some pretty bad things. And there I was in my suit and tie. And they were looking at me kind of suspiciously, but I broke the ice when I said, you know what, it's a privilege and an honor for me to be here and to talk to you about God and talk to you about the Word of God. Because if it wasn't for the grace of God, I would be there. Right before I came to God, I spent a night in jail for things that we shouldn't have been doing. I'm telling you tonight, friend, We're not great. God is great. We're not high. He is high. We're not wise. He's wise. And I've got to lean on Him. Praise God. Come on, let's talk to the Lord right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You've been so good to us. Help us, Lord, to do Your will. As You use Moses' mother and father, use us, Lord. Put faith in our hearts just to simply be used of You. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Oh, thank God. Can we give Him thanks right now? Can we give Him thanks right now? Go ahead and say.